House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules back to order. And for members of the audience who are waiting for Senate Bill 10, we will not be able to work the bill today because we are awaiting conflict amendments on the bill that will not be ready until tomorrow. So we will need to meet and take the bill up tomorrow. I cannot tell you what time until we know what the schedule, the overall schedule looks like for tomorrow. So stay tuned and we will post it on the computer as soon as we know. And I will open a work session on Senate Joint Resolution 36A.
Madam Chair, members, Senate Joint Resolution 36A encourages the governor to designate state ambassadors to represent state in foreign markets. It encourages the governor to reimburse ambassadors for actual expenses, including travel.
Okay, and members, this is actually a resolution which the House passed earlier. The Senate borrowed the version that we had passed for another purpose, so they were kind enough to insert our original language into Senate Joint Resolution 36A. So if it looks familiar to you, it's because you have voted on it once already.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, since we do have a quorum, I move Senate Joint Resolution 36A to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves Senate Joint Resolution 36A to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, and Erin, please call the roll.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Escobar.
Excused.
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Representative Rowland.
Excused.
Representative Thacker.
Excused. Chair Rosenbaum. Aye. Motion carries.
Should we call, that's just a question, should we call our colleagues? Would that be, I don't know, there wasn't clear word that we were meeting after
okay.
The session.
That's not a bad idea. Erin, could you please call the other members and let them know that we are down here? And I think on Senate Joint Resolution 36A, because it has... I believe the original bill was co-sponsored by Representatives Witt, Representative Lim. We'll ask them to co-carry it on the floor. And I'll close the work session on Senate Joint Resolution 36A, and committee will stand at ease for a moment. The House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules, and we have a couple of members who did not get a chance to vote on SJR 36A, which we just passed out, so let's have a motion. Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move that we suspend the rules and allow Representatives Escobar and Representative Roblin to vote on Senate Joint Resolution 36A.
Representative Buckley moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of allowing Representatives Roblin and Representative Escobar to vote on Senate Joint Resolution 36A. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And never let you up on a vote.
Representative Roblin, SJR 36A, how do you vote?
Aye.
And Representative Escobar?
Aye.
They both
like
vote aye.
Okay.
That's right. Good pirate vote.
And I will open a work session on House Bill 2843B. Mr. Stembridge.
Madam Chair, HB 2843B creates Class A misdemeanor of furnishing sexually explicit material to a child and a Class C felony of luring a minor. You have the dash B21 amendment.
And I think that, members, the B21 amendment has come to us because there were apparently provisions in the bill originally that are now clearly unconstitutional. We need to remove those provisions and leave the rest of the bill intact. So that is, I believe, what the dash B21 amendment does. And I see head nods in the back of the room. I don't see that there's anybody here who wishes to testify on House Bill 2843.
Can I take a look at the B21s, please?
Okay. So we're in a work session. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move the B21 amendments to House Bill 2843.
Representative Buckley moves the B21 amendment to House Bill 2843. Is there objection? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I'll move House Bill 2843 as amended to the floor with the pass recommendation.
And Representative Buckley has moved House Bill 2843B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Erin, would you please call the roll?
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
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 Excused.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And House Bill 2843 goes back to the floor, and we will ask Representatives Olson and Representative Galizio to carry this bill on the floor. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2843. And the committee will stand at ease. Mr. Stenbridge?
Madam Chair, House Bill 3570 may look familiar. It's a recreation of a previous bill that you had. This allows a law enforcement agency to request a motor vehicle locator service provider give the location of a motor vehicle. And under these conditions, one, if the search warrant has been issued, two, if the owner of the vehicle consents, number three, if the law enforcement agency believes a life-threatening emergency exists, and the location of the vehicle is necessary to prevent harm, render aid, or locate missing persons, or, this is the fourth condition, or the law enforcement agency believes that a crime has been or is being or is about to be committed, it sets a maximum civil penalty of $1,000 for each violation.
Thank you for that explanation. And we are members in a work session.
Madam Chair,
Representative Buckley.
I will for you. I will move House Bill 3570 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves House Bill 3570 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Madam Chair, I can't give a yes vote to this particular bill. I've had lengthy discussions, and the chiefs of police are against this bill, the ACLU is against this bill. There's quite a number of factions out there that are against this bill. We have some real challenges here where we can, in fact, go get a warrant and can do this at this point anyway. So, anyway, I won't be supporting the bill.
Thank you for your comment, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'll give a courtesy yes to vote, but I do reserve the right to vote no on the floor.
Appreciate the comment, Representative Berger.
Yes, Madam Chair, I have, in discussion with other law enforcement folks, have some flaws in this bill have been pointed out to me since we last voted on it, and I asked the proponent to provide some backup information, and very willingly has. But in reading it, I note that there is admission that OnStar's own privacy policy shows that OnStar already may provide law enforcement exactly the same information or the same circumstances. So OnStar doesn't really need this, and other issues have been raised about LoJack only able to provide location vehicle service pursuant to stolen vehicle reports filed by police. I don't believe this is necessary. I think that this is a good idea that may feel good but may actually be an impediment to law enforcement and not solve the problem that it purports to. So I'm going to have to vote against it.
Thank you for your comment. And Representative Hunt, did you wish to make your comment? Because we have now been joined by Representative Nelson, the chief sponsor of the bill. And I think we're in a work session, as a courtesy, Representative Nelson, we'll have you come forward if you wish to testify on this bill.
Thank you. Sorry for being late.
Good afternoon, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, and Representative Berger, and Representative Hunt, Representative Buckley, Representative Escobar, and Representative Robin, and Big Jim Stenbridge. Thank you for doing this today. feel like Churchill, and those his famous seven words, you know, never give up, never, never give up. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, the seven best words for all of us that give hope. So most people would have given up, I think, by now, based on the situations that I've encountered with Dalton's Law. But with God's help and your hearing, at least we had one more chance to make a difference in some lives. I guess you could have given up, but the recent loss of a young teenager from the shopping center and the Jesuit priest and his companion missing, those are the ones I always ask myself, what could I do? You know, what should I have done? And we did everything we could. We called and, you know, Alameda, California, and asked, you know, does the 2005 Toyota that the priest is driving have low jack? And, you know, called his brother's house in Oakland, you know, to say, did you think to ask? Because most people don't even think to ask, and that's happened before. But like Jack Walch and Judge John Collins, the sheriffs, the state police, and various other individuals that exploited missing children, I don't want to be one who's ever called a quitter because of an obstacle or an individual uses his personal interests for gain at the risk of a life. We have, in effect, one provider who does the same thing that we're asking in our bill, but it's not in the way that we totally need cooperation. In your packet that you should have before you now, you'll have the information in our correspondence with General Motors and OnStar, and they have responded positively to this effort, saying that they do respond, would respond if need be, and that is good. If you look at one of the paragraphs of the privacy clause in their information, you'll see that this is also done not only when vehicles are stolen, but in exigent circumstances, such as the ones we're concerned about, the abduction of a little child, the loss of a Alzheimer's patient who's driven and can't remember where he or she came from, or a little child kidnapped. What we need, and we needed in our original bill, was an indemnification for the liability that any provider of a motor vehicle locator service would need to protect them as relates to our National Privacy Act. While we anxiously await a positive message also from LoJack, we want you to know that the issues that prompted this legislation were very close and dear to heart and true. We have received in your packet, and you will see there, trying to come up with about a page number. It's about halfway through the packet. You'll see a letter from John Walsh, the host of America's Most Wanted. And what he says is that Dalton's Law will compel companies. Compel. That's the important point. That's what we hope we're doing, is compelling LoJack and OnStar to activate such in-vehicle location devices at the request of law enforcement, who's appropriately received the right to ask for the location of a car, where there is fair reason to believe the vehicle was used in a crime or the case of an official missing persons report. This common sense legislation will allow law enforcement to use this valuable tool during Amber Alerts to locate missing or kidnapped children. It could be used to locate an elderly parent who may have gotten lost or find a vehicle stolen in a violent carjacking. The American public has been instrumental in locating dangerous criminals like the 928 fugitives found to date by viewers of America's Most Wanted, and finding missing children from Amber Alerts. While law enforcement will always need the public's assistance, our police officers and sheriff's deputies ought to have every available resource to fight crime and save lives. And he goes on to say, as you see, that Dalton's Law will aid law enforcement and help save lives. And following John Walsh's letter, you'll see an endorsement from the Exploiting Missing Children that tell us, you know, that they've worked on locating 130,000 children. I mean, it just goes on. And then you'll see Vernon Wells, the chief of police from Independence, his endorsement of our bill. You'll see the Oregon State Police Officers Association supporting this legislation. Dennis Dotson for the Sheriff's Association. And you'll see the Klamath County Sheriff's Office and the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office. Douglas County Sheriff's Office. And then next to third page from the back, you'll see the letter from the mother of the individual who initiated, I guess, our wanting to do something, anything possible. A young man who was lost for 5 days, sad thing about it. My son, Jay Gregory, in California, got some 500 people. He was named, if you not to brag, but the AOL Time Warner Humanitarian of the Year, and was recognized in New York City in our first session. And I didn't go because we had to have session. But anyway, that tells you why he would be concerned about this. And he did get some 500 individuals to contact LOJAC, because they knew, as did Mrs. Robertson, the mother of the missing Dalton, that his new car did have LOJAC. Sadly enough, LOJAC's response was, when you find him, tell him to call us. He had not had an opportunity to give the code to his mother. He was an only child and an only son. Apparently, LOJAC did not understand the importance. Sadly, you know, we wish that had been a General Motors car that had OnStar, who would have supported this program, this need. So for all the reasons that I've mentioned, on behalf of all of these various organizations that feel a concern and a need to have every tool available to them, I'm just asking that this be heard again, so that we, you know, we know now we've got the appropriate privacy identification clause in here, protection. We know that we've been properly consulted, you know, by various individuals who've been concerned. In our first committee, the only requirement was, or the need was, that we do have something regarding the Privacy Act. And you'll see in your packet also the letter from the LCO regarding Dalton's Law, and it's about the fourth page back, and their opinion letter that it complies with everything and it does not in any way interfere or preempt any federal law, that it's appropriate. And if there's something else we could have done, I don't know what it is, from the ACLU to the district attorneys to the judges to the owners of the equipment, you know, right now, we've contacted them all. And I just pray that someday we'll get to hear that our work was worthwhile when some little child is found within that first 3 hours of that abduction, before something bad happens to him or her or one of our mothers or one of the college students who are suicidal, like Dalton was, we can find them before it's too late. So I feel good about the bill. If you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Representative. Are there any questions for Representative Nelson? Yes, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nelson, thank you. I'm a little bit confused in that in your written statement, you talk about the privacy advocates such as ACLU have worked on the bill, yet they are opposing the bill. And
ACLU is opposing it?
That I've been lobbied by ACLU, and I've been lobbied by the sheriff's departments as well. The Oregon State Sheriff. So
that's new to me, so I've not heard either, right. So I have no clue.
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Buckley, for the record, my name is David Gulliver. I'm the Chief of Staff for Representative Nelson, and I would simply like to state that when this was before the House Judiciary Committee, we were approached by representatives of the ACLU and the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association who had some concerns with the introduced version of the bill, and working with them and also working with the Attorney General's office, we put together an amendment that became the A. and Gross version of the bill, and all parties involved signed off.
Madam Chair, do we have the A. and Gross version? I only have the House.
I'm sorry.
Out of the original bill, perhaps?
Yes, Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Buckley. That was the original House Bill 3176. And the substantive language of this new bill, the provisions of the bill are essentially identical to House Bill 3176. The only changes between the two bills are the definition section, which defines the motor vehicle locator service, and also the introduction of the shield for civil liability.
Chair Rosenbaum and Representative Buckley, I don't know what to say because you have the document, you know, that says the Sheriff's Association, you know, supports this, and the ACLU, and we work with them. So I have no concern. We did have one lobbyist who had some concern, who represents General Motors, but that resolve was taken care of because of a privacy clause, and we contacted OnStar and got their documents, and you have them to show that, you know, that they will respond. And unfortunately, LoJack doesn't have the same contractual data with their clients, and I wish they did.
Yes, First Vice Chair Berger.
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Nelson. I was given information, and I have it before me. I'll read it in the record from the Oregon Association of Police Chiefs of Police and the Oregon Sheriff's Association that now oppose this bill, and they state that they originally understood the facts of the Dalton case in one way, and they have, and I quote, "We have since had an opportunity to look further into the events cited and found that the events did not match with the information provided. LoJack, the device installed in the individual's vehicle, can only be activated by law enforcement, and claims that the manufacturer refused to assist are inaccurate, as they would be prevented from doing so by FCC rules. They also go on to say that we see no need for legislation and are concerned that language in state statute will complicate interactions between law enforcement and service providers like OnStar. Law enforcement regularly works with these providers in instances where quick action is needed and obtaining a court order is not possible. These are serious concerns that instead of helping, we would actually be complicating the issue around law enforcement. And this is information provided by the Association of Chiefs of Police and the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. So it appears to me that since the original bill was run through, there has been further information sort of put forward that sort of contradicts. And it leads me to kind of think that this bill, while it is very well-meaning, might not be as helpful as it appears, and I would hate to have it be in any way a detriment to helping people. That being said, I also have some personal issues around privacy with related to someone being able to find you when you're in your car and you have one of these devices. If you have one of these devices, I do not, and you don't want to be found, then you shouldn't be able to be found. So there's a number of issues around this that make me sort of ill-inclined to proceed.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum and Representative Berger, I appreciate your questions, you know, and you know, it's America. It's your right to feel that way. However, I just want you to know if you're ever missing, I'm going to get LoJack and say, you know, find her. Because
I don't have the service.
I'd be worried. But I want to, or one of your children or grandchildren, whatever. I do everything I could, and I have in the past, as most everybody knows in the state of Oregon, from getting helicopters and all sorts of sheriff's departments together for supporting them in lost and found issues. I want to point out something that's very unusual, and I'm very uncomfortable in doing so, but I will. When we received the Sheriff's Association's, endorsement, we were glad. And then we got Chief Vern Wells, as you saw, his personal, in here, you see his personal letter that he'd written us talking about his tools, and that's in here. And I personally called him because I thought, well, you know, I wanted to see if they had an association opinion, just like, any other association has an opinion. And he said, well, they hadn't had a meeting, but Donna, maybe they were going to meet on Friday or something, and he'd bring it up if that was time enough. And I said, sure, I'd like to, see how everybody feels. And anyway, and then we ultimately received this document on June 15th with the logo of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police. It's exactly the same as the one you received. Unfortunately, they've now, under the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, somebody has added along with the Oregon State Sheriff's Association and the same data. It's really strange. To use one logo and include two organizations, it's really strange to me. So I've not heard from them. As you know, I have two children in corrections and sheriff's department, so neither of them have contacted me of any change. So I don't know what else to say. And I don't know where it's coming from. And privacy, as you see in this data, you know, is certainly an issue. But I think the family of Father Schwartz would be delighted if we could find them today. And maybe originally they set on a trip in a private matter, but something happened, unfortunately, and they're gone today, and we don't know where they are.
And Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Berger, to further address your concern about your ability to not be found, that is an issue that was raised with the original bill on the House Judiciary Committee. And the language of the bill, the 3176 and this bill, were specifically written to address that. And it specifically states that only law enforcement can request the information. The information would be given to law enforcement. If you were concerned, for instance, that you wanted to escape from an abusive husband and you were concerned he might be able to find you, that would not be the case. He would not have the ability. He would have to go to law enforcement, file a missing persons report. Law enforcement would be the people who would request the information and receive the information. And if they did find you, you would certainly be within your rights to tell law enforcement, I'm not a missing person. And then the missing persons investigation would be closed at that point and no information would be shared.
Chair Rosenbaum, if I could, I'd just like to say one other point. This one just drove me to want to continue. Do you realize that if it's a stolen car, these service companies will respond? If it's a lost car, my question is, why won't you respond if it's a lost life? And that's the federal involvement here. NCIC or something like that is the code for it. But I just think that is just ironic. Okay. Anyway, I would hope for your positive response, and we feel good about having every tool available that we can to protect our precious lives of our people.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Representative Nelson, for your testimony. Okay. Members, we do have a motion before us. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Representative Hunt.
I do have some new questions that have popped up as a result of the testimony, but I'll be happy to provide a courtesy vote for our colleague to make sure the bill gets to the floor.
Okay. Yes, Representative Roblin.
I'm listed on the bill. I have some concerns that have come up, but I also would be more than willing to give it a courtesy vote to the floor.
Okay. Aaron, please call the roll.
Representative Esquivel.
No.
Representative
Hunt. Aye.
Representative Roblin.
Aye.
Excused.
Representative
Berger.
No.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and we will assign Representative Nelson to carry this bill on the floor.
Madam Chair.
I'm sure no one else could do it.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I may put the committee on notice. I may do a minority report on this.
And Representative Esquivel serves notice of a possible minority report. No, and I will close the work session on House Bill 3570. And members, we will need to meet. I am sorry to impose on you, Cindy, but we will need to meet tomorrow to take up Senate Bill 10 and the amendments that we are awaiting. We still, I guess, don't know what exactly the schedule is for tomorrow, so we will call your offices and let you know as soon as we have it posted, and also members of the audience, it will be posted on the Internet. And with nothing further to come before us today, the committee is adjourned.